So understanding simple income and basic expenses is not a good measure of poverty in America. Social scientists have understood this for decades, ever since the formula for calculating the poverty rate in the U.S. was put together way back in 1963. So when in September the Census Bureau announced that by that nearly 50-year-old standard, the number of poor Americans had swelled to 10 million people, it was a huge story. We reported on it, probably heard about it. But it's also a sign of how statistics can distort reality when it comes to poverty and questions of the quality of life. Today, the Census Bureau will release a new way of measuring poverty, which for the first time takes into account federal assistance programs like food stamps and medical assistance, which have a major impact on the quality of life for the poor. Joining us now is Jane Waldfogel, professor of social work at Columbia University. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So what is the problem, as social scientists see it, of using the number, you know, as an income level to describe the experience of poverty? And what do you expect the Census Bureau to change today?
Well, there are the two big problems with the poverty measure that we've been using since the 1960s is that it doesn't get right either the amount of money that families need to get by today or the amount of income that families actually have. So the income standard in the official poverty measure hasn't really been changed since the 1960s. Back then, we took the amount of food that a family needed to get by a minimally adequate diet, and we multiplied it by three, because in those days, a typical family spent a third of their income on food. And we've updated that for inflation since the 1960s, but we haven't updated it to take into account other changes in our living standards.
What kinds of other variables are going to go into this new poverty figure that will make you feel more comfortable that it's an accurate measure? Is it going to measure for geographic differences, government programs?
It's going to adjust the cost of living for geographic differences. It's going to bring in the income that families receive from important government programs like food stamps and tax credits, which we haven't counted until now. It's going to subtract from income necessary work expenses like child care, and it's going to subtract from income medical out-of-pocket expenditures, which are an important part of families' budgets, especially for the elderly.
So child care has never been calculated in the poverty figures?
Isn't that amazing? So when someone leaves welfare and goes to work and has child care expenses or receives some child care assistance, that's never been taken into account in the poverty measure.
Talking with Jane Waldfogel, professor of social work at Columbia University, critiquing the traditional measure of poverty in the United States, but one that's likely to be changed when the Census Bureau announces a whole new yardstick for measuring poverty. As a social scientist, Jane, do you see a distinction fundamentally in the experience of someone who is poor but has government programs that are working to backstop them on food, say food stamps, or medical assistance, say Medicaid? Do those people have a level of security, we wouldn't call it a high quality of life, security that's different from other populations who might be categorized as poor who fall outside of this safety net?
Absolutely, and I think particularly what we want to do is take into account the distinction between a family that is not receiving any government benefits and is poor and a family that is receiving government benefits and without those would be poor. Because otherwise, if we don't take that into account, then how can we track the effectiveness of the programs that we've been implementing since the war on poverty?
So we need to understand who we're helping to keep out of poverty with government programs. We need to also find the population of people that those programs aren't reaching to make any intelligent policy decisions.
Absolutely.
All right. Listen to a little data point that came into our program this morning while we've been on the air. We asked listeners to describe their situation for poverty. And here's a listener in Nantucket.
This is Jamie from Nantucket. Nantucket, home of the ultra wealthy, which is true. But on Nantucket, we have so many families who struggle to find a place to live, find money for food, as they live to serve our wealthy residents. Maybe they don't fit exactly and precisely into the definition of poverty, but they sure struggle.
We want to remind our listeners they can call 877-8-MY-TAKE with their views in their own community. How do you gauge that sense of struggle that listener talked about there, Jane?
Well, you know, I find it interesting that the first item she mentioned was housing costs. And that's a huge part of families' budgets that was not really taken into account well in the old poverty measure. The new poverty measure looks at what families are actually spending on food, clothing, shelter, and utilities. And so if housing costs go up, the poverty line goes up. The other change that's been made in the new poverty line is if a family isn't paying housing costs because they own their home free and clear, then we take that into account in the measure as well.
Talking with Jane Waldfogel, professor of social work at Columbia University. You know, we had Cornel West, an academic colleague of yours, and Tavis Smiley, their sort of radio show co-hosts, who did a series on poverty in the United States. And when they went around the country and talked to people anecdotally, they talked with a whole lot of people who suddenly found themselves in poverty for the first time, first in a generation. Things happened very, very quickly during the financial meltdown. Is there a way for the Census Bureau to track people who might be at significant risk for a reversal that would drop them maybe from relative comfort into serious poverty?
The Census Bureau can track that because, in fact, they're not just calculating who's poor or not poor, but where the incomes fall right along the distribution. And I think what we are seeing in the recession is people moving closer to poverty who were maybe well clear of poverty are now moving into near poverty.
So I gather that these new census measures are going to make your job, I suppose, not easier, but give you a more realistic picture of what's actually going on.
It gives us a more realistic picture, and what I particularly appreciate is that it gives us a better picture of the reach of government programs and their effectiveness, but it also gives us a better picture of who is still poor.
An update of the poverty standard, which was put together by the U.S. government in 1963. The Census Bureau will announce it later on this morning. We've been talking about that with Jane Waldfogel, professor of social work at Columbia University. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
We'd love to know the data point in your community. What does poverty look like in your community, be it Nantucket or any place within our listener community? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.